Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Coming up on today's show, Summer Game Fest is officially coming back. A new video game union has been formed, and Warner Brothers is once again up to no good. Good, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the What's Good Games podcast, your source for video game news, commentary, analysis, and funny stuff every Friday. I am one of your hosts, Andrea Renee, joined by Mrs. Rihanna Manuel Pena.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, indeed. Lovely to see you. We both just had a little hit of chocolate and sugar to get the show going, because it's that time of year when you go to the stores and candy is just everywhere.
Oh my gosh. I mean, they find a reason to put candy in stores most times, but the Easter candy aisle is particularly enticing for me.
Is it because they're egg-shaped? Probably. Do I buy more of them if they're in a chocolate bunny form? Definitely.
It seems like it's less in volume somehow if it's shaped like a cute little animal, but it's not. It just tastes better.
No. Yeah. I mean, anything in the shape of a cute animal, I am here for. And we are glad that you are here, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the show. I want to say thank you to this month's super producers, Bored Ape Gamers Club, Ferris Atia, Joshua Franklin, Justin Foshi, and Punctified. And welcome to our super cast community, Rob Sup, Sarah Rainwater, Jose Reyes, and Ryan Schoen. You can join our super cast premium membership at whatsgoodgames.supercast.com. like those fine folks did, and I've already uploaded the first What's Good Uncut bonus episode.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Well, it's not technically a bonus episode, it's a bonus clip, but that is one of the fun things that I'm going to be doing, is kind of taking some little tidbits from the cutting room floor that doesn't make it into the weekly episode and putting it up there for all of our premium members. So check it out when you have a moment. We'd really appreciate the support.
There's a lot of fun stuff on the cutting room floor.
There is. There's some funny stuff. There's some interesting stuff. There's some weird stuff. Mm. And then there's some very inappropriate stuff. Mm. And it's probably going to be a mix of all of it.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Enjoy, everyone.
Yeah, it's going to be great. This week's episode is brought to you by What's Good Games Premium. But I'll tell you more about that later. Let's go ahead and dive right into the news, shall we?
Let's do it.
Summer Game Fest is coming back, Rihanna.
Yay. It didn't get canceled like other things.
Oh my goodness. I was like, listen, if they had come on and been like, hey, there's not enough interest this year, I think I would have been like super depressed.
Yeah, we need something in the summer. So I'm glad it's back.
Yeah, so they sent out a press release about what's been going on with Summer Game Fest. They mentioned that they had incredible live stream numbers and more traffic than they had before. So of course, they're like, obviously we're coming back. We're killing it right now, which is very exciting. And it's all happening on Friday, June 7th at 2 p.m. Pacific time is when the live stream will kick off. They will once again be having an in-person event at the YouTube Theater, and tickets to the general public go on sale starting May 7th at 9 a.m. Pacific time via Ticketmaster. You can head to the Summer Game Fest website to get all of those details, so mark your calendars if you're planning on going. In addition to the live showcase, fans can look forward to other live streams and events during the Summer Game Fest. The full lineup of participants and activities will be announced in the coming months, according to the press release. But returning is Summer Game Fest Play Days, an invite-only media and influencer event in downtown Los Angeles for hands-on gameplay with upcoming games. And it will be produced by the wonderful folks at IM8Bit and will be happening June 8th, 9th, and 10th. So exciting that they're expanding it by another day.
Oh, yeah.
I know we definitely didn't get to see everything that was there last year. So glad that they're giving us a bit more time. And they're also bringing back Day of the Devs SGF edition. The folks over at Day of the Devs announced last year that they were going nonprofit, and they've loved to spotlight the independent game community. According to the press release, Day of the Devs SGF edition will be presented online via live stream immediately following Summer Game Fest live showcase, and will feature more than a dozen incredible games from developers of all different backgrounds.
I love seeing that. Day of the Devs is always one of my favorite things to tune into, because my backlog, which we've talked about a lot lately over on the Daneriana show, it's filled with indies. Like there are always those games that are, you know, usually bite-sized. You can, you know, jump in, have a really great original experience, share it with your friends, talk about it, and then move on. Some indies get a little big, but for the most part, those are the length of games that I can actually play on a regular basis. So I love seeing Day of the Devs coming in summer. So we get double dose for the year. It's really exciting. And I'm also curious to know, like, what other events are going to be popping up around Summer Game Fest. I know last year we went to go see Ubisoft. I think it was the Sunday after the Summer Game Fest. There, of
course, Ubisoft Forward.
Ubisoft Forward. We saw some games
in
person
there. And then the Xbox Summer Showcase.
Yeah, so like this June week seems to still be the spot, right? It still seems to be the weekend that everybody wants to show off their stuff and, you know, have our little Christmas in the summertime for the gaming community. And I'm really excited Summer Game Fest is back as that tentpole event and things can start popping up around it. Now we just got to plan a What's Good Games meetup.
Yes. Honestly, I'm glad that you mentioned that. Start planning it now. I'm putting that in the back of my brain. Would love to do something. We haven't done a meetup since before the pandemic. I mean, I guess we technically did one at PAX East 2023.
Yeah, that was 23.
Man.
Time flies.
But we are excited for Summer Game Fest to be back, especially in the wake of E3 being officially canceled and not happening this summer. And I think a lot of people looking around the North American convention scene going, you know, what is going to take its place? Is Summer Game Fest going to be that thing? We've talked already on the show about how they're different beasts, apples and oranges, as it were, not comparing the same thing. But I'm glad to hear they'll be back, and I'm sure we'll hear more in the coming months. And congrats on that news. Now, normally we would have just left the opening news block at that one story, but this next story is a little bit more than a headline, and I wanted to chat about it quickly. So we got a press release earlier this week about a new AAA studio opening. There definitely has been no shortage of new studios opening over the last few years. Several of them still deep in development. We have no idea what their projects are going to be. But this one, I think I was a little bit surprised about because I didn't realize that Stig had left Respawn. Mm. So Stig Asmussen, who was previously at Respawn Entertainment, has announced that he's opening a new AAA studio. Yes, and Rihanna's just coincidentally wearing her Respawn Entertainment shirt today.
It actually was a coincidence. Okay, this is what was sitting on my dresser when I walked out this morning.
You know what? It covers your body. That's all that matters. Are there stains on it? Who cares? You're doing great, mama. According to the press release sent out, renowned multi-award-winning game director Stig Asmussen reveals Giant Skull, a new AAA game studio dedicated to building gameplay-driven, story-immersed action-adventure games set in captivating worlds. So basically, what he was working on. Asmussen has over 25 years of experience in game development across some of the most critically acclaimed franchises, most recently the game director of Star Wars Jedi Survivor and Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order for Respawn. And prior to that, he was game director on God of War 3 and the art director for God of War 2 at Sony Santa Monica. So Stig has a quote in the press release that says, "We've assembled a talented team renowned for immersive storytelling, heroic combat, and exhilarating traversal. And our goal is to craft a rich universe that players will lose themselves in for years to come." I'm not going to go over the list of all of the talent that he has brought on so far at the studio, but it includes people from games like Fortnite, Valorant, League of Legends, and then people from the Respawn team that he worked on as well, and Rocksteady as well. Asmussen did an interview with IGN where he said, "We have a very clear vision on the type of game that we're going to make, and that's playing to the strengths of myself, single-player focused third-person action-adventure gameplay-driven that's seamlessly integrated into a compelling narrative. Those are the main pillars of our criteria. If there was an opportunity, we have a lot of experience with licensed games, obviously, but it's very compelling to make an original IP as well. We can flex in either direction. Now, I pulled this quote because I thought it was interesting, the idea that they haven't really picked a lane yet if they're going to be creating a new IP or potentially working on an existing IP and making a new game in an existing IP. And I'm like, interesting.
Yeah. I also find it interesting that, you know, while Stig is saying that they're focusing on his strengths, right? You know, this is a narrative, action adventure. It's going to be, you know, focused single player game, but they have so much talent from multiplayer properties. I wonder if there's more to that story. I'm a little bit curious about how that team came together.
Well, it feels to me like a lot of the big corporate people who are funding AAA want multiplayer.
Yes.
Right? They're like, must have multiplayer.
They want that battle pass money for sure.
Right. And Stig is saying, well, but look at how well the Jedi games did for EA and for Respawn. And I would say, yes, you could have both.
Yeah.
Why not?
I like both.
Los Dos. I mean, granted, doing both well is incredibly challenging. I mean, Call of Duty has been trying to do it for years. And I would argue that their campaigns are really interesting, but they're way more limited in scope than a game like Star Wars Jedi Survivor, right? Like that game was very large for like kind of this open world RPG action adventure type of game. And so adding a really robust multiplayer component to that is a tall task.
Yeah.
So maybe one of those things will be more robust than the other, but if they're both really big and cool, cool.
Yeah, I love big, cool things.
Yeah, big, cool things. More of them. Well, this is exciting. I imagine we'll know what he's working on in like 2028.
So it's going to be a while, Summer Game Fest 2027 will be our first look.
Well, they only have about 30 people on the team and it's a AAA, so they have a little bit more recruiting to go.
Yeah. Well, there's lots of talent out there. I'm sure they'll put together an incredible staff.
Yes. So we will keep an eye on what Giant Skull is up to in the coming years. All right, we're going to take our first break of the show. When we come back, we have some additional headlines, including details on the new Activision union and that new Super Mario Brothers movie that's in the works. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code Spotify for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Let's get into this week's headlines. And there's not a ton of headlines going on, but I did want to call out a couple of things. First up, 600 Activision QA workers have unionized and Microsoft has voluntarily recognized. Hundreds of workers across multiple states have created the Activision Quality Assurance United Union, the largest video game workers union under the Communication Workers of America, the CWA, here in the United States. Organizing committee member Kara Fannin told Polygon, QA and customer servers are the lowest paid jobs and often looked down upon either within the industry or by customers. We have the weakest protections currently, and we want to make sure that we're strong so our work can keep going the way it is. We want to be supporting these games and working really hard on them. Activision Publishing includes franchises like Call of Duty, Crash Bandicoot, Tony Hawk Pro Skater, among others, and the group joins unionized Microsoft and Activision Blizzard employees at Blizzard Albany, Raven Software, and ZeniMax.
No, this is great to hear. Obviously, there's like a workers' rebellion happening across the states right now, but you know, having worked with QA personally and when back in my days in publishing, it is definitely a grind. And those folks are the lifeblood of getting something out without it completely falling apart and tanking. So it's awesome to see them getting more support.
Yeah. Stop disrespecting QA.
Yeah. They save your asses. so
they
many
really
times.
Do.
That's awesome. So next story, new Super Mario Brothers movie is in development. So Illumination and Nintendo announced that they are producing a new animated film based on the world of Super Mario Brothers. This new animated film based on the world of Super Mario Brothers is planned to be released on April 3rd, 2026. So we already have a date. Let's see if that moves. In the US and many additional markets globally, with select territories releasing throughout the month of April. The film will be produced by Chris Meledandri, founder and CEO of Illumination, and Shigeru Miyamoto, representative director, fellow of Nintendo. Directed by Aaron Horvath and Michael Jelinek, and written by Matthew Fogel. The film will be co-financed by Universal Pictures and Nintendo and distributed theatrically worldwide by Universal Pictures. So obviously, they're really happy on how it went the first time because it was, what, the first billion-dollar movie of the year in 2023?
Yeah, it was record-breaking and was such a fun movie. I've watched it so many times since, and I feel like I still pick up little Easter eggs here and there. I do hope they lean into more of the iconic Super Mario Brothers sounds and soundtrack this next time around. But, you know, there was a really fun little post-credits Easter egg that I'm going to leave unspoken. If you missed it, you should go check it out. So they have to, like, take that somewhere, right? We knew that they weren't going to just stop at one.
I know. They got to revisit that. Fans want it. And they'll pay money for it.
There's so many characters that they haven't even touched on yet.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. It's going to be great.
April 3rd, allegedly. Let's see what happens before then.
Well, typically theatrical releases don't usually move very much because of the scheduling involved with IMAX and Dolby and all the specialty tickets that you can sell. So I don't anticipate that moving, unlike video games, which move constantly.
Oh, gosh, they don't move the same way. That's true.
Yeah, they don't have to compete for brick and mortar space the way that feature films do. And those, we all saw what happened to Mission Impossible when Barbenheimer came in and took all of the IMAX screens.
Aww, sorry, Tom. Yeah, I was just referring to the fact that there's so many movie houses moving things around right now. It's just a bit of a reforming of how they do things, it seems like, especially Disney and Marvel. But, you know, I'm excited for this one, and I don't have any doubt that it'll be just as delightful as the first one.
Yeah, delightful. What a great word.
Yeah.
Does not describe this next story, though.
No.
This next story, not delightful. Warner Brothers is now erasing games as it plans to delist Adult Swim published titles. Several indie games are in danger of being delisted on Steam and the PlayStation Store as Warner Brothers Discovery begins plans to retire games from its Adult Swim Games publishing label. First reported by developer Owen Reedy, creator of Small Radio's Big Television, the decision by WBD follows the corporation's previous cost-cutting measures, like infamously scrapping the Batgirl movie. Mm. Reedy responded to the notice from WBD by making their game free to download from the studio's website. Other developers have confirmed they've received warnings as well and that their games will be removed in the next 60 days. Developer of Sound Dodger, Michael Molinari, told Polygon in an email, "I don't know if they're delisting it or deleting it. I pleaded with the rep to transfer ownership to my company as I still retain all IP rights and game rights. I sent him a link to Steam's transfer page and explained clearly that it takes literally three clicks to transfer ownership to me. He rejected my request." Molinari said the Warner Brothers Discovery representative said the decision not to transfer ownership back to the developers, quote, "stems from logistical and resource constraints and the limited capacity of our team." Molinari expressed frustration that WBD's planned removal of his game would and others would lead to over a decade of downloads, community guides, reviews, and patch notes suddenly vanishing. This is such a bummer. I'm like, why? If it takes three clicks, just have somebody do the three clicks. The idea that they're using this stems from logistical and resource constraints as an excuse is absolutely unacceptable.
Yeah, it almost seems actionable. Like, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know how that stuff works. But it woefully lame as far as excuses
woefully
go.
Woefully lame.
Like literally, like, just hire a contractor. Like, get someone on Fiverr. Like that is not that difficult to surpass.
Get someone on Fiverr to do the clicks on the Steam ownership page.
I mean, if that's really the issue, like, there's no way that that is truly all that is stopping them from keeping everything on, at least letting people access the community pages, like they said, like all of the conversations, all of the shared experiences, like that part of it is still valuable. Like, you know, if you want to speak in dollars and cents, like these companies tend to lean towards, like there's still money there. There's still customers there. There's still community there. There's still people there who will support future projects and other things that you could do. Like, why would you alienate them to the point that they just can't even boot it up anymore? That sucks, man.
It just is so frustrating when it's a fixable thing. Like, and you know, there was other developers that Polygon talked to when they were doing the reporting for this story. So, you know, thank you to them for doing some good due diligence there, talking to these developers. I just don't understand. It just feels so punitive. And I don't know why it needs to be punitive. And especially when it sounds like from the developers that it's not that hard to transfer the ownership, because some of these games are over a decade old. And as we know, because here on What's Good Games, we kindly ask our fans and listeners to take time out of their day to leave us a 5-star review, because those reviews really matter.
They do.
In rankings and in helping people identify, you know, what is quality content and, you know, what is potentially not quality content. Like, having to make developers go through that process all over again is just feels really cold-hearted in a way that's like, you don't have to look like the bad guy here. Like, no one's trying to tell you that you can't run your business the way that you see fit. But this just feels gross. And it doesn't seem like it's going to be that much extra work. I feel really bad for all these developers. I mean, several of them have come out to say, you know, don't worry, the game is not going to be gone forever. You know, if it gets delisted, we will relist it ourselves. Several of them already expressed that they own, you know, like the developers in the story, they own the IP and the game rights, so they'll be able to republish it. But the idea that they have to republish it instead of just getting the ownership transferred just is, it's stupid.
It's stupid.
Here, I said it.
And why burn that
bridge? I'm trying to say that word because my daughter is now starting to call things stupid, and we're now entered that phase where I have to be very mindful of what I say.
Oh boy.
But it is. It feels stupid.
Yeah. And like, why damage that relationship? Like, why anger a community when you don't have to, you know? Like, just get more help. Like, people need jobs out here. Like, you can do it. Come
on. It's not even like they have to get more help. I'm like, you just...
Oh, that's
just
what they're alleging.
Somebody, it would take probably somebody like less than half a day to do all of the games and the adults.
You know what?
Games.
I'll do it. Warner Brothers Discovery.
I'll volunteer.
I will
free.
Do it. Just give me 350. Like, I'll do the three clicks. Like, come on. Jeez Louise. This, yeah, that's a bummer.
Oh, boy.
I'm sorry to the devs, man. That's, y'all are getting hit real hard sometimes. It's not fair.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's not fair. Well, then I want to end with a quick headline that I didn't write in the show notes, but that I want to mention in case people out there didn't see. On Saturday, April 6th, starting at 4 p.m. Eastern time, the second annual Able Gamers Gala is set to commence. They are doing their annual fundraising gala for the second time and hoping to raise even more money this year through their virtual platform, where you can do all kinds of super cool things like meet your friends in virtual spaces, buy mystery boxes full of swag. You could even dress up if you want to. Mm. There's live DJs, live bartenders. And basically, it's all to support our friends at Able Gamers, who are doing fantastic work in the accessibility community, making sure that people have both the hardware and the software to enable them to be part of the fantastic community of video game players around the world. So I wanted to give our friends a little shout out. They're celebrating 20 years of changing lives. So congrats to the entire team at Able Gamers for that. We are doing a special episode of What's Good Games with Steven Spahn, the Senior Director of Business Development for Able Gamers and friend of the show. He's been on a couple of times and he and I have hosted together. So hopefully you guys will check that episode out in a couple of weeks, but wanted to just give them a nod. If you guys want to learn more about the gala, it's ablegamers.org/gala, where you can buy your tickets. Even if you can't go to the gala, every dollar helps them support their mission of changing lives through video games. So just wanted to give them a little tip of the hat.
Yay. Nice note to end on.
Yeah. And that's going to do it for this week's headlines. When we come back, we're going to talk about what we've been playing. But before we do that, you've got to listen to some ads. And if you don't want to listen to ads, you know where you got to go. What's Good Games at Supercast.com. Let's talk about what we've been playing. And instead of talking about Final Fantasy and Helldivers for, what, the fourth week in a row?
There's so much game.
Could just keep talking about spreading democracy. They added flying bugs, Rihanna. Did you see that?
Yes. Oh, my goodness gracious.
I was like, why, though?
Yeah, I'm at the point now where I'm starting having dreams about the bugs in Helldivers, which is where I'm like, maybe I should play some other things. So I've been trying to mix it up a little bit because it's getting a little scary in my head.
I guess if you have the jetpack, then the flying bugs aren't as scary, but I've only gotten to use the jetpack once somebody dropped it in a game one time because I'm not high enough level to buy it, but someday.
Yeah. The jetpacks and the mechs are fun, for sure. For sure. This game is just
except
great.
When you explode in the mech, that's not very fun.
No.
That happened to me several times.
You should be careful about where you throw it to.
Yeah, you know, being careful on the battlefield feels like good advice, but who's got time? You know what I mean?
I mean, friendly fire is a game mechanic, so why not explore that sometimes, you know?
You know, see, you said it first. A game without friendly fire, though, but also lots of fun and jetpacks, Fortnite.
Yes. So Fortnite Chapter 5 Season 2 just dropped this past week. It's called Myths and Mortals, and I've been playing. I'm back on my Fortnite bag. Yay. And my gateway drug was buying Lady Gaga skin, and then, of course, the trailer came out for this new content, and then they had the audacity to just sneak in Avatar Korra at the end with no mention at all. I don't think she's even in the cover art for this expansion. How dare you, Epic? Just want to say that. Like, you are on some other shit. I'm upset with that. But she's not coming till the end of the season. There's a couple weeks before we get to, you know, lead up to her in the battle pass, so fine, okay, whatever, but don't you dare bury an avatar ever again. This Myths and Mortals expansion is pretty cool. There's of course some map changes, lots of new characters and weapons and toys and things like that, but what I find the most compelling, having played a few matches now, don't worry about how many of you is, it's don't monitor my
no
time
there's
like
no judgment here.
They have these new locations that you can go to that are sort of fashioned after different worlds that you would see like Greek gods in. And you can go to these locations. They're like temples on the map. And there's an effigy, a tiny little statue that you kind of like just chuck over to the side very disrespectfully. And then the god summons a bunch of minions to fight you. They're not super hard. You know, you get dogs in Hades' area. You get a couple of soldiers in Ares' area, whatever. And you fight these minions, and then the god comes out. You fight the god. You get their bonus weapon. And it's very similar to what we had in the previous update, where you would go challenge different people, and then you get a little badge that you can put on that gives you passive shield and health regeneration, but also telegraphs your location on the map to other players, and then you get their bonus weapon. So they've reused that mechanic, but they've now fashioned it after, you know, these Immortals of Olympus. So there's five new locations. It's Brawler's Battleground. That's where you find Ares. Grimgate. Hades is there. Mount Olympus. You get Zeus and his lightning bolt. I'll talk about that in a second. Restored Reels, which I haven't been to yet. And the Underworld, which again, you know, Hades' spot. So what's really fun about this is that there's also little details that they don't really mention in the trailer that we just saw if you're watching on YouTube. Like if you go to Grimgate, which is like the gate towards the Underworld where you can fight Hades, there's the river Styx, right? That's you jump in the green river, and then you have souls that are sort of floating around you, little skulls that are floating around your character once you get out, and they let you double jump but teleport instead of double jumping. So there's like little tiny Easter eggs about these gods that are really, really fun to discover. I've been having a blast with it. The lightning bolt is a new item, and it's a limited use. I think you have three uses, and there's a recharge in between, but holy crap, it is powerful. Like, you throw down two quick lightning bolts and then the third really powerful bolt, and it hovers your character for a little bit. It reminds me a lot of the Dragon Ball Z integration they did recently. I guess that was a year ago now.
Oh, like where you throw the Kamehameha?
Yeah, it's a lot like that. And it is super powerful. You know, Fortnite has all these really fun power fantasy moments, but it's also fun because if you catch somebody lightning bolting, let's say one of your teammates, they're hovering in the sky completely unprotected. You can pick that sucker off so quick. Oh my God. God, it's satisfying.
Nice. It's like high risk, high reward.
Oh, absolutely. Glass Cannon for sure. Like, it's a really good update and I'm having a lot of fun with it. Of course, it's not as specific as tying it to, you know, a movie or an IP that people are really passionate about, but all of the Greek gods and legends are public domain at this point and they're having a lot of fun with it. So I'm enjoying it. And of course, we get Avatar Korra later this month and very excited for that.
Obviously, like, there's a lot of tie-ins that they could do. I mean, she does kind of feel like she didn't fit, but I guess she technically fits, right?
It felt out of nowhere. And what's interesting is in the Battle Pass page for her, there's two pages. It's, if you've seen the Fortnite Battle Pass, there's like six or so different things you can unlock. And then you unlock the skin at the end of that page. And then you can go to the next page and it follows a similar pattern. So for her page, it's page one of two. And she's at the end of page one. And then there's a blank at the end of page two. So I don't know what she upgrades to, or if there is an Avatar Aang, or, you know, like, I wonder how they're playing around with that, because if you know anything about Avatar Last Airbender lore, you know, they can connect with different past live iterations. So every avatar is really on the table. If you have a Korra skin, she could unlock her avatar state and then transform into Kyoshi, who is a fan favorite. So I'm wondering what they're going to do with that. I hope it's not just another skin for Korra, but it might be. It might just be like her fighting ring outfit from the animated series. That would be disappointing. I hope it's another avatar. I just want to see them play around with that world a little bit more, because Fortnite is really good at doing that and integrating other IPs into their world. So jury's out. We'll see how that one goes. But I'm excited for Korra.
I think it's really great that the team at Epic is continuing to expand the different types of gameplay that they're offering. I obviously am a fan of the shooting, but some of these different weapons, I think, give it just enough of a twist, but without like breaking the meta of what the game is like. Did you think that there's a specific type of weapon that you're leaning towards right now from this pack?
I mean, I'm just an assault rifle fan. There's a lot of really cool snipers in the game right now. I mean,
ooh, look, there's that's my fave.
Yeah, Zeus has a DMR that is really, really strong. I've been one-shotted with it several times by other people. I can't land a shot with it, but it's nice. And they've also reduced the number of places where you can go to upgrade your guns. If you remember in the most recent season, you could unlock attachments by paying gold bars and changing the way that your gun is outfitted once you find it. There's only a handful of spots you can do that now. So if you find a good roll on a sniper, you're good. But really, your best bet is to go find Zeus and get his DMR for, you know, more high skill level shots. But for me, it's always going to be an assault rifle. That's just what I like to do. And if they ever put like a smash hammer or something in it, that'd probably be my next bet. But for now, the lightning bolt is the closest thing I can get. I'm also a big fan of Aphrodite's wings? I forget whose wings they are. They have wings.
Artemis,
maybe. You fly up and then you coast. So again, it's like the Nimbus Cloud that we had before, but it's nice to get in and get out if you're like, your entire team is wiped and you need to collect a bunch of cards and then like get the fuck out so you can go reboot them. That's been a clutch item, not a weapon, but definitely I've been using it for retreat, which I have to do a lot when I'm playing. But it's also got a pummel that you can do. You can like smash down and like power smash on the ground with it. So it could be used offensively and defensively, which is pretty cool. And I want to see them do more in that space. Like if you have a shield and you can throw it, like kind of things where you can use different items in more than one way. And I think Fortnite most recently has been at its best when they experiment and they tinker like that. So I hope they lean further into that direction. We still haven't seen extensive gameplay of Avatar Korra, but hopefully in a couple weeks we'll see, you know, what that moveset is like, because there is an image in the trailer that we saw earlier of her using her water bending. So I don't know if that's going to be both offense and defense, but we'll see.
It's really smart of the team at Epic Games to take the animations and the gameplay mechanics that they've designed for one integration and figure out how to just like tweak it for another one. Like, under the hood, I know that it's way more complicated than I'm making it sound like it is.
It's not copy-paste Nimbus Cloud to Angel Wings.
Yeah. Maybe, who knows? Maybe it is just that easy in Unreal Engine 5. Like, I don't know. I doubt it. But it just is allowing them to continue to be competitive in a genre that feels like it's starting to get like a little formulaic. And I don't want to use the word stale because I think that that's, you know, maybe a little hyperbolic. But definitely doesn't have the zeitgeist that it did like even 3 years ago, let alone like 5 years ago, 6 years ago, even longer ago. Because there's just so much other competition. You know, extraction shooters seem to be kind of the new hotness right now. And I think that doing Battle Royale is still something that is fun, but not that I'm like thinking about it. But now I'm thinking about it because you're like, I'm back in and I'm like, I haven't bought my Lady Gaga skin yet. And these Greek gods look super cool to play with. I want to throw a lightning bolt at somebody.
It's pretty cool. And I will say, Aphrodite's second skin looks so, so good. And then there's new NPCs as well. You can see some of them walking around and they give you, you know, your little health or your shield potion. And the little blobfish thing that's shaped into the form of a man that is Poseidon is oddly attractive. And I don't know how I feel about the way that I reacted to it. The
blob is oddly attractive.
Because it's a blob. It's like a transparent blob.
Yeah, it's like it's like a giant thing of Jell-O.
Yeah, it's hot Jell-O.
Hot Jell-O. What's the it's like the shoulders and pecs.
Yeah.
Like, right? I'm like looking at the art for it. Oh, so if people are like, what are you talking about? So Poseidon's character is like, think of like like a humanoid body, like a really muscular body, like the, like King Triton from The Little Mermaid, like giant torso, like that upside down triangle, just massive shoulders, pectorals, upper body strength. But there's no skin. It's all like aqua colored Jello. I mean, you could maybe say it's like seawater, but it doesn't really look like seawater. And then inside the head, there's no like facial features. There's no hair. It's transparent. And inside there's like a little guy, a little doohickey guy who looks like a little squid inside with like a happy face. It's wearing a crown.
I should probably dissect why. It has hands
and
feet
and it's holding a scepter. Or it's like a spear, like a trident, I guess.
Yeah. You know what? I decided I don't want to know why I think it's hot. It's just is.
It's the pectorals, right? It's
sure.
Like the upper body muscle definition.
Yeah. Those watery pecs. I'm all about it.
And it's got bubbles inside. It's a really like, it's a really interesting character design now
the
that we're like looking at it deeply.
I feel
like
I got to pull this up again.
I feel like I had to pull this up again so people could actually see it. I'm trying to find him inside the trailer. It is. It's weird looking. And I'm going to be honest. Like, I didn't think much of it until until you pulled it out. And then I was like, okay, hold on.
Well, because I land where he is. He's in the railways. And I land where he is quite often.
So
and
he here we go. We got
stuff.
Yeah, he looks like Jell-O. He looks like Jell-O, like aqua Jell-O with a crown on.
Yeah, and
I don't know what to tell you.
Yo, it is what it is. Whatever. Hormones are weird. I had a kid. Don't come for me.
Hey, it's the slurp god of the sea. King of the beach. That's what it says in the description on Fortnite.com. Slurp god of the sea.
Wow. Amazing. King of my beach, Poseidon.
There you go.
Super into
it. King of the beach. Well, I'm glad that you're having a great time. Now we have to play. I should just be prepared to buy more Fortnite books, I guess, because
yep.
Gaga. I need all of the Gaga stuff before it goes away.
There's a lot of stuff to buy. Unfortunately, it's a requirement at this point. There's just so much good stuff in this game right now. They're doing great.
Man, it's tough because I don't really have a ton of money after I just bought into this brand new backer kit from my favorite author, Brandon Sanderson.
Oh, tell me more.
So y'all know, if you've been following the show for a while, that I'm big into fantasy literature. And one of my favorite authors, Brandon Sanderson, has been incredibly prolific and has been breaking Kickstarter records and came out with a new little video that he was like, I couldn't help myself. I did it again. This is what happens when I go on vacation. I get ideas for stuff. And so I just had to write another book. And I was like, wait, what? Book 5 is coming out this fall, Stormlight Archives. What do you mean another book? And BackerKit is the crowdfunding platform that he launched it on. And it's a brand new secret book, but he's tying the secret book to the leather bound of book two of the Stormlight Archives. And I was just like, what is happening? Why are there so many things now that I have to buy?
BackerKit, and, I haven't heard of this site. This is new to
me. Oh, yeah. I don't think I had used BackerKit before either. I'd only used Indiegogo and Kickstarter. So The Words of Radiance Leatherbound by Brandon Sanderson is the name of the BackerKit page. If anybody out there is like, ooh, Brandon Sanderson has a new BackerKit. Within the first 2 days, he was already like 800% of his goal. His goal was $2 million and he's currently at $18 million funded with over 62,000 backers. And there's still 16 days to go. But the leather bounds are beautiful. That's really why I wanted this. I'm slowly trying to convert my books to leather bounds. But for all of my other book fans out there, y'all know it's expensive. Mm. So doing it very slowly, just a little bit at a time. But I was very excited about this. And the new secret project is cool because I really loved the four secret books he did for his last Kickstarter, which made stupid money. Mm. But, you know, it's just, they're all so good. He's just such a great, prolific writer.
Jaw-dropping. Congratulations. That is huge.
Thanks. We feast in, fantasy fans. We feast in.
Eating good.
Yeah. I just wanted to mention that for any of the fans out there that are like me and like to read the Sanderson books. So if you guys missed it, there's still time. You can still get in on the BackerKit for Words of Radiance. Nice. So that's it. That's all I've got.
Hey,
just been playing
right.
More Helldivers than Final Fantasy. Well, I'm going to finish that game eventually. There's new stuff, top secret games that yes. I can't mention, but also GDC is happening, the Game Developers Conference.
And then PAX.
And then PAX East is happening. it's going to be a wild week next week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there'll be plenty to talk about next week for sure.
Yes. And I'm hopefully going to be doing some special recordings. I'm bringing my gear. I'm making a very quick trip up to San Francisco because I miss going to GDC. And I wanted to go see some of the stuff that's being shown there and hopefully talk to some people and bring you guys some extra content. So if there's anything specific that you would like, you know, hit me up, contact@whatsgoodgames.com or leave me a comment on our Patreon page or on our Supercast page. And hopefully I can make some magic happen. Brianna, always lovely to see you.
Aw, thank you. I love being back. It's nice that we've spun up again for the new year. It's giving me new energy to get through the days.
Yeah. Take it while you've got it, mama.
I'll take everything I can.
Meanwhile, I'm going to go find some more caffeine and sugar. All right, everybody, that'll do it for us this week. We'll see you next time. Bye.